Okay, Shlomo, Echem Rabbi Yisrael, I hope everyone is well. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak to you. So this week's parsha is what we're going to be discussing this evening. It's parsha's Emor, and the Torah begins at the very beginning of the parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Emor el ha-kayanim b'nei Aaron, tell the kayhanim, the sons of Aaron, ve'amar ta'aleihem, and tell them. And then it speaks about the laws of not being metame to mason. So Rashi notices that there's a double lashon, emar v'amarta. It says, emar l'kanim, speak to the kanim. And then again, it repeats itself and says, v'amarta l'kanim, and speak to them, saying. So why is that necessary? So Rashi famously says that emar and v'amarta is wahazir gedalim alaktanim, to give an azhara that gedalim, adult kahanim, should also be warning and being strict with the kahanim, that they too should be very, very cautious when it comes to Tumah and Tara and all of the other halachas of Kahuna. Ramesha Feinstein, in his Darash Mesha, asks a very good question on this Rashi, that if you, where does Rashi get this from, that there's an azhara to kahanim? It doesn't say in the pasuk anything about that the kahanim themselves should say to kahanim. It says emar l'kayanim b'nei Aaron v'amar t'aleihem. It says it's all addressing the same kahanim. Presumably, the same adult kahanim are being addressed twice. So, in what way is the kahanim at all alluded to in this pasuk that Rashi says that not only do the kahanim themselves have to keep all of the necessary halachas, but also they're supposed to be giving over a chinuch to their children, also to be very nizhar, to be very careful in the laws of kahuna. And in a very well-known idea of Ramesha, he says here, and he says it really in other places as well in his sefer and elsewhere, that there is a very, very big misunderstanding about what chinuch is. People think that chinuch is telling children what to do when it comes to mitzvah. So if there's a mitzvah of matzah and you give it to your son, the matzah is a katan, and you force him to eat the matzah, that's your mitzvah of chinuch. And if you put tzitzit on him, a talis katan, that is your mitzvah of chinuch, etc. Ramesha says that that's really not what chinuch is all about. Chinuch is not shoving mitzvahs upon your child, thrusting different obligations upon them. The truest form of chinuch, he says, is when a parent, when a father or a mother does mitzvahs, and they do it with a very big geschmack. They enjoy it, and it's very clear to the children how much they enjoy it, how much they appreciate, how much work and enjoyable work goes into preparing for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for doing certain mitzvahs. When a child sees that, when a child is able to see his parents so involved and engaged and excited about doing mitzvahs, that will spill over to the child, and the child will be nischanech that way. The child will be trained and educated in that way. That's really chinuch. Chinuch is not telling orders, telling instructions to children what to do. If you're telling them instructions and they themselves and the parents themselves are not following those very same instructions that you're laying out to the children, then obviously it just smacks of hypocrisy. So the best way to mechanize your child is making yourself very, very coherent, very, very strict when it comes to the mitzvah of that you're trying to mechanize, and then the children will see that. They see that you're very careful with tefillin, you're very careful with your tzitzis, you're very careful with your dalad minim, you love it and you spend time and money and you're enjoying it. That is real chinuch. He says that the Jews, when they first came over to America, so it's a very big mystery of sociologists, why it is that so many millions of American Jews went off the derech. You go to college campuses all over the country, and literally there are millions of Jews that have no idea what an aleph is, what a bez is. They have no idea what Shabbos and Yom Tov are. You have not only young people, but there are people of all ages today that are multi-generational people that have gone up the derech in all walks of life, every state in the union, and every city, and you find Jews all over, and they have no shayfas to Yiddishkeit. So Rav Moshe says, how did that happen? Their great grandparents or their grandparents, when they came over Ellis Island and they entered this country, they were, let's say, they were from Russia, they were from Eastern Europe. They were very careful to keep Torah mitzvahs. They were extremely careful, and they were meiser nefesh to do that. We know that many of them, they worked, they got a job in a sweatshop or some factory, and then Friday, when they had to go and tell the boss that they're leaving early because they're Sabbath observers, the boss would give them a pink slip and say, okay, don't bother coming back next week. If you can't work on Friday, if you can work on Shabbos, then we have no room for you here. And then they'd have to go back and get employed again on Sunday, Monday of the next week. And this was the pattern that they would have to go through every single Shabbos. So there were tremendous mesiras nefesh. There was tremendous mesiras nefesh on the part of the first wave of immigrants. So why did the second generation of immigrants, why did they go off the derech? And Rav Moshe says, and he says it so often in his farim, and he used to always say it in speeches from what I hear, that generation that came over to America, they were strong and they were meiser nefesh, but when they sat by their dinner table, by their Shabbos table, they would tell their children, or they would convey to their children, that it's mesiras nefesh. It's not easy to be a Yid. It's schwer zu sein a Yid, as Rav Moshe says. It was difficult to be a Yid. It's hard, and you have to give up, you know, a lot of opportunities because of Shabbos, and you can't, you have to lose your job, get a new job the next week, and you have to do this and that. And the kids who are growing up in America, they say, listen, our parents, they're European, they have this in their blood. But we're American-born, but we came here young as Americans. We want to have Coca-Cola, we want to have rollerblading, we don't want to have roller skating. We don't have to be mired in the strict world of Orthodox Jew that our parents aren't enjoying it anyway. They're saying it's so difficult. So we don't want something that's difficult. And so what would happen is they would leave the fold. They would say, listen, we want to have an easy life. We don't want to have a difficult life. They throw off Shabbos. They throw off Kashrus. They throw off all of the mitzvahs because they were getting bad chinuch from their parents. Their parents were not bad people. They just didn't understand this yisayit of chinuch, that in order to really be mechanech your children, it's not enough just to tell them what to do, but they have to feel from their parents that it's geshmak to be a Yid, it's enjoyable to be a Yid. And Rav Moshe gets back and plugs this into this pasuk, and he says that it's nothing to do directly with children in the pasuk. Both the Emor and the Amarta is addressing the adult Kehanim. We need two Emors, we need two Lashon Amiras. The first one, tell them the halachas, tell them what the laws are. The second, the Amarta, is that tell them that it should be geshmak to them to be Kehanim, that they should appreciate it, they should have a chavivos for the mitzvah kahuna. And then when they have that mitzvah, when they have that love for the kahuna, then mamela, that will be passed along to the next generation. Mahazir ha-gedaylem al-aktanim, the gedaylem will warn the ktanim, but not by instruction, not by speaking severely to them and telling them, you better keep the laws of kahuna. No, it's by they themselves showing how important it is for them, how geshmak it is, how much they love it, how much they cherish the mitzvah of kahuna. If the adults are expressing their love for the kahuna, the children will have no choice but to want to be kaihanim and to want to have the proper chinuch in this regard. There's a story that's told about the Chafetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that somebody once came to him and complained about his son, that his son goes to yeshiva, but he doesn't have a cheshek to learn. He's lacking a certain passion in his learning. He doesn't know what to do. He says he's wasting his time. He's doing a lot of nonsense. He's not really plugging away at his learning. and he didn't know what to do. What's going to be with him at the end? This is what he was complaining to the Chafetz Chaim about. The Chafetz Chaim turns to his father and asks him, are you Kaveh Itzim? Do you yourself learn with Hasmado, with a Geshmak? Like, how do you learn? He says, no, I don't have time to learn. I'm busy making Parnasa, and I don't have the head for it. I don't have strength. By the time I get home from work, I'm exhausted. I can't. But my son, he doesn't. And then while he was going back to focusing on his son, the Chafetz Chaim stops him. And the Chafetz Chaim says, if that's the case, why are you worried and why are you so troubled about your son? When he grows up, he's going to have a son, and he will also want that his son will learn Torah. In other words, what the Chafetz Chaim was saying was this Yisrael of Ramesha, that chinuch is not about what you are barking orders at your children and telling them to do this and to do that. That hardly ever works. The main way to do chinuch is by lovingly showing them by example that you're doing what you're telling them to do. If you would be a machmen, if you would go to the Beis Medrash at night and have a chavrusa, go to a shir, your child would notice that, and they would also follow suit. They'll also plug away and learning. But when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, so then the children look at you and they say, well, he's not doing it. He's making all the excuses in the world why he doesn't have to learn, so I can make excuses why I don't have to learn, because a child is never going to be firmer than his parents. He has no reason to be, and I don't, you know, you can't blame them. They're the only reason why they're Jewish is because their parents are Jewish, and their parents are passionate Jews, and they'll be passionate Jews. But if their parents are lukewarm about their Yiddishkeit, so then it's obvious that the child will not, on their own, become, you know, very, very interested in being a Shemir Torah Mitzvah on the highest level. Maybe later in life they'll get a Rebbe, they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll start, you know, finding it on their own. But at least in terms of the chinuch that they receive in the house, it's never, or it's very rare that it will ever be warmer a Yiddishkeit than they saw from their parents. It would be a crime if I'm speaking on this topic to the illustrious community of Baal Das Yeshurun to not mention the Maariv d'Asra or Shimon Schwab's amazing fundamental vard on the same theme, but he brings it out from Pesukim in Sefer Shoftim. In Sefer Shoftim, we find the parsha of Shimshon. When Shimshon's parents, Manoach, the Manoach's wife, they were not able to have children, and suddenly a malach appears to Shimshon's mother, the future Shimshon's mother, and the malach says that you're going to be pregnant and you're going to have a child. Now this child is going to be a nazir to Hashem, and therefore he's not allowed to drink wine, and you can't drink wine in you know, so that he doesn't have any wine in him from the uterus already, and you have to be careful on the laws of Tuma when he's not supposed to get it, have a razor come. He's a nazir Eilim. He's called Nazir Shimshon. He's going to be a nazir his entire life, and he was told, and he told the Malach tells the mother that you have to be very careful already from now when you're going to have him in utero, that you should be careful about the laws of Nazira starting from today. She comes and she tells her husband about this encounter, and Manoach wants to hear it himself. He wants to have the Malach return, and sure enough, the Malach does return, and he speaks to Manoach, and he tells Manoach the following. He says that Mikol asher amarta l'isha tishma. Everything that I told to the woman, to your wife, keep. Mikol asher yitz migefen hayayin l'isaychel. Don't eat whatever byproducts come out from grapes and from wine. Mikol asher tzivisa tishma. Everything I commanded her, you have to keep as well. And Rav Schwab asks two basic questions. He says, we don't know. Why does he have to tell him the laws of Nazirus? I mean, he already told Manoach's wife that the kid is going to be a Nazir. and look up the parasha of Nazir and see what the Torah says. You don't have to tell Manayach. I mean, the Gemara says that Manayach was an Amoraite, but I'm sure he was able to know at least a little bit of the halachas about Naziris. What's the chiddush that the Malach is coming and telling him, like, halachas that appear in the first Nazir about wine and grapes and byproducts and tumma and cutting hair? Why is the Malach reiterating all that when it's already in the Torah Mefarsh? And he says in another question is, L'chaira, the Malach didn't really add anything to the original instructions that he gave Manasseh's wife. He basically just doubled down and said the same thing. So what's the importance of this? What do we gain from this whole parasha? What did Manasseh want? And what was the Malach telling him that was in any way something new? So Rav Schwab said in such a beautiful way that what was bothering Manayach was what we're speaking about this evening. Manayach had the following problem. He says, you're expecting me to raise a child that's a Nazir. How does a person raise a child that's a Nazir if he himself is not a Nazir? If the father's not a Nazir, you can't do it. It's just not doable. It's not normal chinuch based on what we're saying this evening that what is chinuch? Chinuch means that the father does it and it trickles down to the child through witnessing, the passion and the zeal and the geschmack that the parent has, and that will have an influence on the child's behavior. But when you have a child that's a Nazir and the father himself is not a Nazir, so how does the chinuch work with that child? I mean, you're going to tell the child, don't drink wine, and you yourself are making kiddush on Friday night and Shabbos, and you're going to l'chaims, and you're going to kiddush and making l'chaims, and the child just looks at you and says, hey, why can Tati have wine and I can't have wine? And then you're going to go to the barber shop, you're going to get yourself a nice haircut, and the child is his hair is growing long. You're going to go to a cemetery and you can't bring the child in. It's not chinuch. It's not normal. Chinuch means that you're able to do something yourself, and the child learns from your behavior what to do. So that was what was bothering Manayach, and that's why Manayach wanted to ask this question to the Malach by himself. The Malach comes and tells him, Mikol asher amarti al ha'isha tishmar. Whatever I told your wife to do, tishmar, keep. Now, the simple interpretation of that pasuk is that you have to make sure that the child keeps it. You have to make sure that he's going to be able to not drink wine. He's going to be able to not get haircut. Because Rav Schwab learns from the diktik of this pasuk that the word tishmar does not mean that you should instruct him to keep these mitzvahs, these halachas, but rather tishmar means that you should keep it yourself. Tishma means that you yourself should be makabel on yourself in the Zeris. You're 100% right, Manayach. You're raising a child that's going to be a Nazir. You're going to have Shimshon. He's going to come. He needs a father that's going to be a role model in the laws of Naziris. Tishmar is the chiddush. There's a very big chiddush that the Malach was telling Manayach that you wouldn't learn out from the Pesukim in the Torah about Naziris. And that is that a father, if he really wants to raise a child that's a Nazir, Tishmar, he himself has to have the acceptance of Hilchos Naziris. You also have to stop drinking wine. You also can't get a haircut. You should be mekabel on yourselves the halakha, the dinim of Naziris, and that way you'll be the most influential, effective father, role model for young Shimshon to be able to see exactly what he is supposed to do. There's a beautiful story that, not a story, it's really a great verse that I saw once from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman was famous, because he was made famous because of the book, the biography that his daughter, Ruchama Shane, wrote about him, called All for the Boss. And it was one of the first, really well-written biographies of a gadol. I think it was published in 1984, before Artsville started publishing their biographies. It was published by Feldheim, and it was a runaway bestseller. It's an amazing book. I'm sure many of you have read it yourself. And I've read it many times. It's a beautiful story about how this early pioneer of Torah Jewry in America, he came over already in the late 1800s, I believe, and he really planted the seeds for a lot of Torah Yiddishkeit in America. Things that we take for granted, they weren't taking place at the time, and he made machais, he did a lot of things that seemed a little wild or very wild at the time, but he was such a, you know, he was a Talmud Chacham, and he was very metaphatic on halachas, and he was very close to all the Gedolei Yisrael, and when they came to America, he was a tremendous machnas arach, or Baruch Fer stayed by him, and Ramesh Mordechai Epstein, and many of the great Gedolim that came to these shores stayed by him. And there are great stories in the book about this, but he was a very, very unique individual and an amazing Torah personality. So we don't have, I think, too much Torah from him, but I did find once in a certain sefer a beautiful bart that he said once, and it's on the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph, where the pasuk says, where the Gemara says, "Haragel b'ner havin le banim tamidei chacham." If a person is ragel b'ner, if you normally light candles in your home, you will have children that are tamidei chacham. So Rashi says, what type of candles are we talking about? It's talking about Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. If you light Ner Shabbos and you light Ner Chanukah, then you will have children who themselves will be Tamid Chacham. So he says, how does that work? I mean, there are many people, obviously, I think a lot of women, maybe even non, you know, Shomer Shabbos women, traditional, they just light Shabbos candles every Friday night. Does that mean that their children or their grandchildren are naturally becoming Tamid Chacham? Of course not. So what does this mean exactly when it says, Haragel B'ner, Havin Leibonim Tamid Chacham? So, Sir Herman says the following. He says, that picture of the scene. There's a father, after the Suda on Friday night, he sits and he opens the Gemara, he opens the Chumash, and he's learning by the light of Lar HaNer, by the Shabbos candles, maybe as a chavrusa or somebody's watching to make sure that he's not going to tilt the candle as is the halacha. You need a shomer if you're going to be learning by the candlelight. Be that as it may, but he stays after the meal and he's learning and he's enjoying his learning. And in the meantime, all of his family goes up to sleep. His children are all asleep. And then one of his young sons comes down, he gets thirsty, he wakes up, he's thirsty, he wants to go down to the kitchen, and get a glass of water. And he sees, as he's coming into the dining room, he sees his father, it's very late already, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's still learning, and he's still shuffling, and he's into it, and he has he really has a tremendous cheshek in his learning. In that case, the child that sees this, he wasn't told anything, he wasn't given any instructions by the father, but if a child sees his father who's learning L'Ar HaNer, he's learning by these Shabbos candles late, late Friday night, then that child will want to be a Talmid Chacham because he sees that there's something to it. He sees his father's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk, he's actually learning. He has an opportunity, maybe during the week the father is busy at work and he's doing a lot of things, but on Shabbos he has the opportunity to learn and he takes full advantage of that opportunity. So haragel b'ner, if a person is ragel to have candles burning in his house and he uses those candles, he uses the illumination of Shabbos, the illumination of Hanukkah, and he's using the light. Obviously, in the Hanukkah, I know you're not supposed to use the light, but you get the point that that the light in the house is being used to learn Torah by. But then, it's natural. It's only natural that a child that sees this, that's exposed to a father that's shagging over his Gemara late at night,
he will be a Talmud Chacham. It's not a skula that you light a Shabbos candle and poof, your child becomes the Galal Adar. But if you light a Shabbos candle and you're learning by those Shabbos candles and you have a, and your son is able to see in a, in an uncasted way, it wasn't, there was nothing that was, you know, it wasn't, you weren't doing it for, to show him, but you were actually doing it and he actually came in and saw you unrehearsed or that is a surefire way to make sure that your son is going to be a Talmid Chacham himself. So that is basically the yisayid that I wanted to share with you this evening. We started with this yisayid of Rav Moshe about Emor v'Amarta, that the Amira was really only to the adults, but the adults are supposed to be so enthusiastic with the mitzvah of kahuna that they themselves will give it over to their child through their own performance of the kahuna in the proper way. We spoke about the story from the Chafetz Chaim about the person that, you know, wanted his son to learn, but he himself didn't learn. And Chafetz Chaim says, you know what, don't worry about it. Your son is also going to grow up. He's going to insist that his son learns, but he himself will not. We learned the beautiful Vart of Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab tells us that, you know, from the Parsha of Manayach, how we see how far this Yisrael is in Chinuch, that it's not just that, you know, it's nice to be able to do it yourself, and that way your child sees it, but that if you're going to raise a Shimshon, if you're going to raise a Nazir, how you have to yourself be a Nazir. You can't, it's impossible to raise a Nazir otherwise, because he'll never listen, he'll never be medactic in the Hilchas Naziris, because his father's not being medactic, and it's the Washer Yibi. And we said over the Vart for Yaakov Yosef Herman, one of the rare Varts that we have from him, about Haraga B'ner, how the Meibon is B'ner Chachamim, how a child that sees a father learning, how it's so important for him to, how a child will definitely be attracted to learning because he saw that in his father. And I would just add that I don't know exactly who's on this call. I don't know the age bracket of people, but whether or not you have young children yourself, or whether you have grandchildren, or maybe you have great-grandchildren, I think this Vart applies across the board, because we know that, you know, those of us that were fortunate enough to have grandparents, and that we were able to see them and spend time with them and see how they had, so same thing. If you see your grandfather davening well, you're going to daven well. And so if we are grandparents, so then the more that we're able to conduct our own ways properly, if we're davening with Kavan and Shul, our grandchildren, who all eyes are on us, so then they will want to daven well in Shul. If we're just telling them not to talk, and then we turn to our neighbor and we continue schmoozing with our neighbor in shul, they're going to schmooze with their neighbors in shul. And so this yisayid of chinuch is really not just from a parent to a child, to a parent, to a grandchild, to a great-grandchild, because children are very, very, they observe everything, and they imitate things that they see in the house, and it's a tremendous achrayah on us, but it's also the mitzvah of chinuch. This is the mitzvah of chinuch. I'll just end with a vart that I once said, that the word chinuch is spelled, or the sharish of the word chinuch is ches nun chas, ches nun chas. If you jumble the letters of ches nun chas, it spells the word neichach, nun chas ches. Neichach means that to do something in front of somebody, to do something in, like, shifri kamayim libech, neichach pnei Hashem, that I'll pour out my heart like water. Neichach pnei Hashem, when I'm opposite Hashem, when I'm standing in the presence of Hashem. So I was thinking that chinuch, that the site of chinuch is neichach. It's not what you tell your child to do and the orders that you give him and how, but it's neichach. It's that you're standing in front of your child, and you're davening well. You're standing in front of your child, and you're putting on tefillin, and you're learning, and you're shaking lulav and esrog with all the kabbanis. And whatever you're doing, neichach your child, that is really the major chinuch. That's the real chinuch. Chinuch is not done by order, but rather it's done by demonstration. It has to be demonstrated, it has to be palpable. The child has to be able to really see themselves that the parents are excited, enthusiastic, and doing it with all the proper kavanas, and then, and only then, will they really be properly nisqanich. I'd like to thank everybody who joined us this evening, and I hope that you have a beautiful Shabbos, and Mitzvah Hashem, a healthy, safe summer. Habar Leinu L'Tayla.